Happy Tuesday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jay Bird watching. Brendan Panikkar is back with Craig, Chris, and Adam. The Blue Jays sit at 15-9, are playing the New York Yankees in their second of three games this week. And we're here to break it down, talk about last night, talk about the week that was, and set up the next week ahead before our next show. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Hopefully winning.
Good.
Yeah.
Or is it more like winning?
Yeah. I will designate Adam or Chris as the official live updates as they come through, because I can't watch it on mine. Craig, I know you're in the same position. Chris, I don't know if you have it on somewhere.
Yeah,
I got it on. We're killing me.
Okay. Yeah.
We're good. Live updates. We're good. Live updates.
I'm in.
Anyhow, the Blue Jays just came off.
The 1-0 pitch. Oh, sorry, not like that.
Oh, yeah. Can you
don't
just
go tabby on me.
Yeah. The Blue Jays just finished a 2-week stretch where they played nobody outside of the Boston Red Sox and the Houston Astros, and they finished with a 9-4 record. Who the fuck saw that coming? Because I know I certainly didn't.
Clearly Craig, none of us on the sheet.
That 2-week stretch, what impressed you the most, or who impressed you the most? You can answer that question either or both ways.
I got to say our bullpen. It's been standing out. I can't really say any one individual person other than obviously we're going to talk about one individual person at some point during this show this evening. But the fact that the bullpen really has stepped up to the fact that we have been having some very up and downsy starting pitching outside of like two individuals. So the fact that they've been able to just right the ship and continue to hold us in these ridiculously nail-biting, close, stress-filled games has been nothing short of amazing. And the fact that they keep doing that, and we appear to have maybe at the moment the current best closer in baseball, this is looking pretty damn good for the Blue Jays. And I got to give all my shout outs to the Blue Jays bullpen for the last couple of weeks.
Chris?
Yeah, it's got to be the pitching staff at this point, because the bats are pretty damn cold, minus George Springer. Nobody really seems to be contributing on that side of the ball at all. The defense is really good too. So to be a little bit different, I guess I'll say the defense, because like Bo has had his ups and downs, I guess. He's had a couple of questionable plays or just not having his glove down far enough. But for the most part, he's made fantastic strides. Vlad's looking amazing at first base this year, Espinal and Chapman have solidified the infield tenfold compared to what we had last year. And George Springer. How about George Springer out? Well, I guess the other day he was out in right field, but making all these late inning Superman-esque diving plays and keeping the team in it and make things don't get terribly out of hand. But it's the pitching staff and the defense that are winning games, because it's certainly not anything to do on the offensive side.
Adam?
At risk of being repetitive, actually, I was really going to.
Wait,
expectations have been pretty low walking in compared to what we saw last year offensively, and it still hasn't been great for Santiago Espinal in that regard, but it's still been serviceable. And we were talking about it before the show. It's a done deal. He's taken over second base. That's his job to lose now. I think if there's going to be someone that has surprised me, welcomely surprised me, it's going to be Santiago Espinal. But to echo Chris's sentiments, I need to see a little bit more from the offense in general outside of obviously Vladdy and George Springer. Particularly, I'm looking at Bo Bichette. I need to see a lot more from him. We had this discussion at length last week when it comes to how he's a cornerstone of this franchise, and I'm not necessarily too worried. I don't get overly concerned about players' performances in April, but if this continues in the month of May for Bo and he doesn't start to trend upwards, then I have some serious concerns. But overall, I don't know when the last time the Blue Jays did not lose a series in the month of April. Can't think of
it. Might be the first time it's ever happened.
That's what I'm saying. The worst they did was tie with the Yankees in a four-game series, but they did not lose a single series. And I still include this past weekend because even though it bled into May, it started in April.
For sure.
So yeah. You got to be happy overall. You know, run differential is a thing. I'm sure we're going to talk about it. But overall, you got to be happy. And the expectations overall are, I think, right there for Blue Jays fans, what we thought we're going to walk into.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. It seems like the common theme, which is well documented, is offense. It's been quite inconsistent outside of, I'm going to say, two or three guys. Espinal's been pretty good since day one with the bat. And as you said, Adam, a surprise. Vlad has been very steady, taking his walks when he isn't getting fed much pitches to hit. And George Springer has also been really good. But everybody else has had spurts here and there where it looks like they're starting to come out of it, and then they go back into a rut. And I can think of Matt Chapman. I can think of Bo Bichette and a couple other guys who are supposed to be cornerstones on this offense to keep it going. I'd say Lourdes has been good. It feels like it's a little quieter than normal, kind of up and down exactly. But does that give you guys cause for concern going into the month of May? Because, look, just looking at the schedule before we started, you have the Yankees for tonight, tomorrow, and then you go to Cleveland for four games. And Cleveland's been surprisingly good so far, and they do have some good pitching. Play the Yankees again, the Rays for three, and the Mariners for three, and then the Reds. You finally get the Reds in a break there. But the next couple weeks, it doesn't let up. And if you have an offense that is scuffling, to say the least, outside of two or three guys per night, and a pitching staff that, let's be frank, there's going to be some regression because they're not always going to win one-run games like they have been so far. There will be more blown saves. There will be some more rough starts in the rotation because some guys are off to historically good starts. So, Chris, when is the offense going to heat up a little bit? Do you think maybe with as they were talking on the broadcast last night, the Blue Jays have faced some of the highest velocity in all of baseball, and that could play a part of it in terms of their slow start offensively. But when do you see this team, I guess, evening out a little bit? Because pitching will come down, but the offense will come up, and that's what they will truly be at that point. When do you think that's all going to start to even out?
To make a comment on one of those points, I don't think velocity really plays a part in this, because I don't think anybody in this lineup is terribly afraid of high velocity pitching, other than maybe Biggio was, where, well, I don't want to say afraid, but he struggled hitting high velocity up in the zone. Honestly, the offense started to go down a slippery slope once Teoscar got hurt. Yep. So I think he's going to be the catalyst to help some things. Panic mode quite yet, but it's very concerning because there's zero signs of anything breaking for any of these guys, really. Springer's been very steady. Vlad he isn't what he was last year. He's taking his walks, but he started really hot and he has cooled down a little bit. Bo is showing some signs of heating up the last two or three games. We're not going to see this crazy hot streak out of Collins. I think that was just a blip in the radar of a week of an anomaly of things. Chapman, just if he's not striking out, he's popping up. He's completely lost at the plate for what's going on. I don't see signs of this snapping anytime soon, to be honest. There's nothing that suggests that it will.
Mm-hmm. Craig?
It's what the catalyst is going to be, is where I'm at right now. Is it Teoscar coming back? Going to be somebody moving around in the order? Is it going to be all of a sudden just watching Vlad actually get fucking pitches to hit? Yeah. That would be the biggest thing right now. To your point, Chris, as soon as Teoscar wasn't anchoring the four spot right behind Vladdy, clear regression, because they just weren't pitching to him, and he got a little swing happy for a little bit. Now he's back into the ballpark. At least he's swinging at the right pitches now. But you could see even in last night's game, Yankees had no interest in pitching to him in the seventh inning when they had, none. And I don't blame him one bit. If you were going to get beat by somebody in the Toronto Blue Jays lineup right now, it's going to be Vlad Jr. Everybody else right now is a complete, utter wild card. If they're going to swing hard in case they hit it, basically is what's going on, right? So, to that point, if we aren't making that contact consistently around anybody in that part of the lineup, there's no way in hell we're going to get these spurts of one-run games and a random home run at the end of the ball game by Bo Bichette to win a ball game. It's not going to be any of this stuff where it's going to be just consistently streaming through pitching staffs like we thought it was going to be. But this roster is not constructed the way that this was meant to be as we are all currently sitting. What was it tonight that Ramil Tapia has been in the fifth spot again?
Looking at him now, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't the design out of spring training.
And he said cleanup once too.
Ugh, nightmares. So, but it's going to get better. I really think that they have the pieces coming back. And I honestly wonder how much Danny Jansen will play into that too once he finally heads back. Even just as somebody to turn the lineup over at the end.
Mm-hmm. Adam?
You know, echoing everything, again, what you guys have said about the main producers of the lineup, overall, I'm not overly concerned. I think Vlad not having the start that he's, you know, we expected him to have. Well, I mean, in the beginning he did, but I would say the overall month of April. And Craig, you sort of alluded to this. He's not getting pitches to hit. I don't think that
as soon
he's
as he quite, does though.
Yes. And if, or he's going to really tap into his dad and be able to hit any
balls that bounce in front of the plate.
Yeah. Maybe he's not there yet. Maybe he's a little bit spoiled for just, you know, pitchers trying to beat him. And he did.
I don't think he grew up playing cricket like his father, just saying.
I mean, that's an innate ability, man. You know, I'm sure he'll be able to figure it out, but yeah, I mean, it's really hard for me to complain. It's really hard for me to, you can poke holes in the lineup and you can say that things can be better, and they absolutely can. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to complain, seeing as though where they are in the AL East, still behind the Yankees. But at the same time, this is the month that you have to turn it on. And Brendan, I think this is where you were going with this, that you're right. The only team that doesn't give me pause in the month of May are the Reds. Mm-hmm. Every single other team.
Yeah.
You're going to have your work cut out for you.
Baseball.
Yeah, you're going to have, you know, Cleveland, like you said, Brendan, there's no slouch. Then you have the Yankees again. Tampa Bay, we just never know. Seattle could be pretty good.
Yep.
St. Louis is always good. Mm-hmm. Anaheim, you know, I don't even know. I would imagine we're going to see Ohtani pitch one game, hopefully. I mean, I kind of just want to see it in general.
Jealously.
Yeah, you close it out with Chicago again. It's not an easy schedule outside of the Reds, so this is where you're going to really prove your worth in this month. And if the offense doesn't start clicking, ooh, what a bad, like, this could go south quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially.
No,
go ahead.
You can't rely on Gausman to not walk anybody for the whole season. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Or
exactly.
Give up a, yeah, no.
Yeah. It's, if the offense doesn't heat up soon, it will be concerning because the pitching will regress, and we'll touch on that in a second. I personally believe as soon as Teoscar gets back and hopefully Danny Jansen or just one more guy offensively heats up near the bottom half of the order, whether that's Chapman or Kirk or anybody like that, then they'll be fine. Because they showed, it's interesting, they showed the stats on Sportsnet last night for the offense, and they're near the top half, if not in the top like seven, for quite a bit of offensive categories. Obviously, home runs is one of them. But they're, as I think you mentioned it, Chris, before we started, they are near dead last in hitting with runners in scoring position. And I think that's partly to do with how shortened the lineup is, because you're getting guys on base. Vlad's getting on base. Springer's getting on base. But as soon as you get past Lourdes at this point in the lineup, after four, it is very hot and cold with guys who sometimes will come up with hits like Chapman, Kirk, hasn't really done much. Kirk doesn't even have an extra base hit yet. I mean, that's concerning enough as it is. So hopefully when they get back, maybe as soon as Thursday when they play Cleveland, I know, again, they have good pitching, but I'm going to start to say within the next couple of weeks, the offense will start to click with some worse pitching staffs coming through. Doesn't mean they won't face tough pitching, but more often than not, there'll be better pitchers to hit.
Speaking to that point, if they start facing some crummier pitching, there's a chance that they do catch that fire and just continue to truck through all those other good pitchers again. Right now, they're just sitting and hoping something is going to happen. And that's not happening in baseball in general, let alone in our lineup right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, let's go on to the next topic. And that is the fact that Kevin Gausman is pitching at a historical level. And we can touch on some other guys, too, who have been really good. But the fact that he has gone 41 innings, it was, without allowing a home run or a walk has been simply incredible. He has been, in my mind, better than advertised. Not that I didn't expect he would be way worse than he has, but I don't think anybody saw this coming. The fact that you don't even walk or give up a home run is super impressive. So, I mean, you got Gausman doing what he's doing. You have Alek Manoah doing what he continues to do. Jose Berríos seems to have righted the ship since his first couple of rough starts. And then you're getting what you get from Stripling, which is pretty good for a bullpen day, and hopefully Kikuchi picks it up a little bit. But Gausman and Manoah continue to go back and forth on who is number one or 1A, and that's a very good problem to have, especially as other guys continue to potentially regress. But Adam, I'll start with you on this one. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that Kevin Gausman hasn't done anything but exceed your expectations. It's also probably hard to say that this is what you expected. But going off of that, how long do you think he'll go before allowing a walk or a home run? Because he seems really locked in, like even better than last year so far. And as the season continues, he's obviously not going to keep up this level of production, but can you expect him to continue to be a legitimate number one?
By the law of the baseball gods, because we're talking about it, his next start, he's going to get rocked. He's definitely going to give up a home run, or he's definitely going to walk someone in the month of May. If he doesn't, I'll give you each a shiny quarter. But
that's all you got.
Yeah, it's all dad life. But for me, I think Craig, you said it's a really good problem to have two pitchers. It's not even a problem. It's a really good rotation to have when you have a guy like Manoah who seems unbeatable, who seems so confident, and it's a little different than last season, where it looked a little bit more like a Marcus Stroman type of confidence, where it was just he was a little cocky. This year, he seems a little bit more reserved in his confidence, and he's letting his playing talk for himself. I think he's been outstanding. Gausman, to me, is that veteran piece that you needed in this rotation. He's exactly what we wanted, and Brendan, seriously, not poking at you. He's exactly what we wanted Ryu to be in 2020.
I don't know about that. I think you're poking.
No, I'm not. Like, we wanted
He was in 2020, though.
But he wasn't this good.
He was pretty damn good in 2020, man.
Ooh, Gausman?
No. Ryu.
Oh. But I don't know that he was this unstoppable.
No, like, it wasn't like the walk thing and home runs, but like, he was that anchor in a very
crap rotation.
Yeah. And so, also a shortened season. So, that notwithstanding, I think that when you have a guy like that in your rotation as a veteran leader, it sort of takes the pressure away from guys like Ryu when he returns, Berríos when he now that he's starting to cruise, or even Stripling to a lesser degree. You just know that those games are going to be, yes, they've been dogfights, but at the same time, we're going to have the upper hand. Same thing with Manoah, dude. Spoiler alert, he's been the one that's impressed me the absolute most. He's been outstanding. So, sustainable, I don't know that you're going to get, I don't think any of us believe that we're going to get this level of production. No. They're gonna have some bad ones that they're going to cough up. But I think, Chris, you said that Manoah is going to be top two in Cy Young voting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
I thought he went all the way. I thought you said he was going to win the Cy Young.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't say he was. Two. No, I not. I never said that he was going to win. I gave myself the buffer. I said that he would be top three, but and I was three. Willing. I said he was going to be top three, and I'd be willing to go top two. So that gives me the win and runner-up just to cover my ass. You can't get greedy. You can't call two Cy Young winners in a row. Yeah, you can't call two Cy Young winners in a row. That's just unfair.
If you do, you need to get your own damn show is what I'm hearing.
Had one.
You clearly have outplayed your play-it platform.
Or start getting paid for your takes.
Yeah.
There it is.
I think Manoah is...
At least bet in Vegas if that happens, man.
If I'm going to bank on, and this might be controversial, if I'm going to bank on who's the likeliest candidate to, or most likely to continue this sort of production, I'm leading Manoah. Not that I don't believe in Gausman. It's just I'm seeing something in Manoah. Like, the movement on his pitches are just filthy. It's incredible. So I would be happy with both
taken.
Or either. Yeah, I think so. I think so. And he played their hand last year, like forced them basically. Well, I mean, they sort of didn't have a choice but to bring him up. But I think, yeah, he's been incredible. And I think, I don't know, I think of the two, his production is the most sustainable. Not that I don't believe in Gausman. I think he's still going to be great. But I think Manoah is the true ace of this team.
I do have to ask a question to all of you. So the last time the Blue Jays had a rotation with this kind of a 1-2 punch in it, and I'm talking more in the ballpark that we actually have a 1-2-3. Does anybody want to play on who that might have been or who I'm thinking anyways?
Burnett and Halliday?
Halliday, Burnett.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it's been a bit. Just saying. And
the 2016 one was really good, though, too. I mean, maybe not as dominant at the top end, but just overall consistency from five and even six guys when they got Liriano. That
2016 was the best overall rotation this team I think ever seen. And that's saying something. It was some good staffs. But as far as a dominant force and a 1-2 punch like that, I don't think you can go outside of it. I think it was 2013 that Burnett and Halliday were just trucking people. Was it 2013? I think so.
2013? No. He was gone.
No,
like
2013 was a fucking disaster.
2013, that was the Marlins.
Okay. Why am I thinking though?
No. Okay. I think Halliday was Halliday and Burnett was 07?
06?
08.
That was Halliday's last year.
Yeah. So, but either way, that rotation was something fun to watch with those two going back to back every day, and that's what we got right now. And then, like I said, we're throwing another guy right into it with Manoah. Barrios has been on fire. Gausman looks good.
Yeah.
You hope for the best for the other two guys. And I think we'll be okay.
Craig, would you agree with Adam's take that of the two, Manoah's the likelier to keep this level of performance up, or do you think Gausman will match him neck and neck?
I think it's going to be a battle between the two of them all year. The one thing I think that's going to catch up to Gausman eventually is I think that the word in the American League will get out on some of his stuff eventually. And I'm wondering if that ball isn't going to have the same bite on that splitter come,
it's beautiful.
You know, August, you know. So I think the difference between the two of them in just pure stuff, Manoah's built like a workhorse to do this where, you know, I think Gausman will fatigue a little bit over the course of the season more than Manoah will. So I think the later part of the season is going to look a little different for the two of them. I think they're both going to finish great, so don't jump on me, Blue Jays fans. But it's something different as somebody as far as Manoah is just free and easy. It doesn't. He's literally just goofing around and going out there and throwing a baseball at 100 miles an hour, where Gausman, it seems like he has to work for it. That's basically my argument.
It's a different type of swagger, right? I feel like Manoah has just, his confidence is, for lack of a better way to put it, it's not, Marcus Stroman level juvenile, but it is that youthful confidence, whereas Gausman has veteran confidence.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
My shenanigans are cheeky and fun. And
Chris, which side do you lean on? Who are you going with to be the better of the two by the end of this season between Gausman and Manoah?
I don't want to have a side. I want a dogfight.
That's why
he
says Robbie Ray. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, I want a dogfight straight to the end. Like, why wouldn't you as Blue Jay fan and kind of seeing what's going on? Because you know sure as shit as well that these guys are looking down the dugout or looking at the other guy on the mound going, I can do that too, right? It's just the way competitors work is anything you can do, I can do better. So why not have it? Hey, maybe Manoah is number two only to Kevin Gausman, and Kevin Gausman wins. Who knows?
Either way, I'm strangely okay with it.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with the other guys that I do see maybe a little bit more regression in Gausman than I do Manoah. But I don't think much. I don't think much, if a lot at all.
Yeah.
So yeah. I want to see the dogfight. I don't want to go on a side in this. And I would love to see Barrios get in on the action too and get in on some fun. He's getting close and he's probably looking up and down saying, hey, I got that big contract too, and I'm supposed to be the guy. I got the ball on opening night.
Yeah.
That didn't go exactly to plan, but I'm supposed to be the big dog in this organization. I have the 7-year contract, not these guys. Yeah. So.
But to that point, he's efficiently flipping the script pretty well on that part already. So if he continues running with that, Chris, you're going to look pretty damn good about getting him in that dogfight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Berríos can put together some really hot stretches and hot months and whatnot. And I do expect that to come. If I had to go with somebody just based on efficiency alone, each inning, it's Gausman. I mean, the fact that he can consistently so far throw like 10 pitches or less per inning is why he's been going 7 and 8 and even into the 9th against the Red Sox. If Manoa, however, starts putting guys away faster and starts going deeper because he's, what, done 6 in all 3 of his outings so far, and that's perfectly fine.
Well, he went 7, almost 8 in the one, did he not?
No, I don't think so. Oof.
He definitely threw 7 innings once.
He might have started the 7th from what I remember. I do remember the first 3 were for sure 6 innings. But if he starts putting guys away fast and like his ceiling is growing and it's still growing like crazy. But yeah, I don't know what it is. I really, really enjoyed watching Gausman pitch. I don't know, maybe because I like a good redemption story, and I remember when he was an Oriole, in like 2016 especially, I wanted Gausman to be the guy the Blue Jays faced in the wild card game because he was coming off such a terrible season, and Tillman was still okay at the time too. And the fact that he got DFA'd as recently as 2019 or 2018, and then just rediscovered himself in San Francisco, I always have a soft spot for stories like that and coming back and putting it all together because he was a very highly touted product when he came up with Baltimore. And he had one really good year, maybe even two, but for the most part, it was pretty up and down. So I do believe it'll be neck and neck towards the end of the season. I think you could make a case either one of them could be the better one at season's end, and that's a very good problem to have. And hopefully Berríos is not too far behind them. So it's been fun to watch them both, and even Berríos lately has been fun to watch too.
Highlight of him strike out Aaron Judge is pretty damn fun, just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. On that note, so Gausman's, I think he's leading the team innings pitch, and also he's gone 8 against Boston, and Manoa has only gone 7.
Oh, he's 7, okay.
He's gone 7, yeah, yes. He's gone at least 6 in every start.
Right. He's pitched in 4 games, and he has 25 innings pitched, so he has to have gotten into 7 once.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Okay. No, that makes
most sense. Recently against Boston.
Right. Right. Okay. But yeah, no, it's been a great start for both of them, and hopefully some of the other guys start picking it up too.
Yeah.
So moving on from the rotation of the bullpen, because that has kind of been, as we started with the show, that has also been a very bright spot of this team so far. Obviously a couple games have been coughed up. Opening day wasn't the greatest for the bullpen, or the starter, a couple blown saves, but for the most part, they've been rock solid and they've had to be in these one-run games, and Jordan Romano has been the beneficiary of all those one-run games because, what, he's got 11 saves so far this season, which is leads the league ahead of Josh Hader, and he was announced as the American League reliever of the month for the AL. So it's been a historically good start for Jordan Romano. But when you go back and look at this month as a whole, because I think we all said, looking at the schedule, if you could be 15-15, or 16-14 at one point after this tough stretch, and that includes this Yankees series, we'd be thrilled with that. But they're going to be better than that by the end of the season or by the end of the series. So if, when you go back and look at the month of April as a whole, and you can count the Sunday Astros game, why don't I start with you, Craig? Who would you pick for pitcher of the month for the Toronto Blue Jays staff? I know we kind of maybe have nailed it down to two guys, but you can go with Romano too if you want. You can go with an unsung reliever out of the bullpen, whichever way you want to go. Who has been your pitcher of the month for the Blue Jays in April?
With all these close games, I don't know how I can give it to anybody but Jordan Romano. He's literally been the reason coughed up one. There's one blown save for him on the season, but the fact that he leads the majors with 11 and how many close games that we played. Oh yeah, that's right. Every game we play this year has been a close game except for two. So the fact that he's been able to keep us in those games to the point where we can come back and win and take it, and just watching him slam the door and come in with the awesome like wrestler entrance that he has in Toronto and everything now. So I gotta give it to Jordan Romano.
Chris?
Yeah, Romano's been good. A lot better than what I had predicted at the beginning of the season, but I think name that gets kind of lost. And it's very strange as well, because every time I see Simber start warming up, I start freaking out a little bit.
It's the legs, dude.
Well, it's not even feet. It's not even it's not even the leg. It's just that, like, when he was coming in, who did he pitch last night? And yep. I sent you guys that message that, like, because he was coming in to face LeMahieu, Judge, and Rizzo, and like that, it shouldn't work. It shouldn't work. They should be launching home runs onto Front Street, and somehow he gets it done every time. And to go on to the other side, like Tim Mesa, holy shit, Tim Mesa coming out of literally nowhere after returning from injury last year. Like, it was basically between him and Liriano. That's it. And the whole spring training, I was convinced that Mesa was going to get cut and Liriano was going to be on the team. And thank God I was proven wrong on that, because he has been no short of amazing since he's been around. And I think he deserves especially a lot of credit. Been impressed with Garcia as well. Same with Richards. The whole bullpen as a whole, I just hope that we don't burn them out too early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam?
Well, I was going to go Mesa, but Chris
and he thought he was going down for the B team for that one. So you might as well just take Gausman and they'll like drool all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard for me to pick anybody outside of Gausman and Manoah in the starting rotation. You could say Barrios just because he's rebounding quite well. But I'm going to go an opposite route. I'm going to stick with my take on Mesa.
But Aaron Oliver.
No, I'm just
Aaron Oliver.
Pat Hankin retired too, just saying.
Yeah, I just think Mesa gets a bad rep just because of the history that he's had. And just, you know, he hasn't always been reliable, and it's yet to be seen if we can consider him reliable still at this point. But it's looking good.
His biggest piece is that he's consistently improving.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody expected him to even be doing what he's doing right now, taking high leverage stuff. So if he keeps going, right.
The stuff is there. Yeah. But are we... I'll say this, and maybe this is unfair. Chris, the way you are with Simber, I mean, it's lessened.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of get that way with Romano a little bit. Like, I'm just waiting for the wheels to fall off because I just feel like it's coming.
Why? Because he's Canadian?
No.
You had to say it.
No, I mean...
No, you think he's going to go full Jason Frazier?
I worry about, I guess velocity is not so much a concern. It's just the history isn't there with him as being consistently reliable as a closer. And I wonder if not having, and we've harped on the Nate Pearson train a lot, but are we just going to rely on Romano to close out games? And if he's not going to do it, it's going to be Simber. I mean, like, I think to your point, Chris, this bullpen is set up to be gassed really soon, really quickly, if that's the case. And I don't know. I like the production that Romano's been offering. I'm just, there's something about it that makes me white-knuckle the couch every time he's out there. And maybe it's because of the how close these games are. And
it's probably
maybe,
mostly that.
Yeah, he's pretty.
Are you worried of the fact that even, like, Jimmy Garcia has even had some issues the last couple times he's went out and stuff like that, or are you just...
I mean, I anticipate that. I mean, that's par for the course.
If Romano keeps on this streak, like, do you think he can sustain 65 to 70 appearances in a year?
Oh, no.
No.
I don't think so.
No. So, if you have a bullpen that, like, once the sauce comes back, once Pearson comes back, I don't even think you're going to need it, especially if the offense wakes up. Like, that, it all circles back to if the offense is going to 100%. Wake up. And if they do, you're not going to need Romano for that many. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. No.
Because who do you lose out of the bullpen once Pearson gets in into the mix?
It's a good question. There hasn't
and
been
then any, what do you do with Ryu and Stripling?
Any standing candidate from the bullpen right now to be the obvious one that goes?
I just dropped one of them during the roster decimation thing.
Well, it can't be
25, 26 man roster.
Stripling can't go anywhere.
No.
He's earned a roster regardless, honestly.
For the rest of the year, yeah. Especially if we're going to do the 6 days rest bullshit with
definitely.
You need Stripling.
Tyler Chatwood-esque decline. Somebody like him out of roster. I'm trying to pull the four man or the Astro
active roster. Right now.
This team is so bad with runners in scoring position right now, trying to work a count.
They've always been.
They're just blindly. Chapman's going to make me eat my words now. Anywho, carry on.
Yeah. So right now, Penn currently has Andrew Vasquez still in it. Trent Thornton, who's honestly been salvageable.
He's been all right. Yeah.
It's going to probably come down to Julian Merriweather or Vasquez.
How many options
right now,
does Merriweather have?
Merriweather's got diesel.
He's got
all those ones were injuries, so he's got at least one.
He's just got one, Chris?
I think he's only got... At the beginning of the year, I was under the impression that he didn't have any, and that's why he had to make the team last year.
Who, Merriweather?
Merriweather, but
I thought he was legit been more recently, on the team last year.
But I've been more recently corrected and apparently and told that, no, he has one. So
I'm looking it up now. Because if he has one, you can't do it. You can't burn it. No,
I agree.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you'll send Vasquez down. Because
he would have to be DFA'd now, Vasquez, for sure, because he only had the one option.
Yeah, but I don't think you're missing a whole lot.
No. Then there's a reason why he's barely
benched. Oh, my God, Chapman.
Yo, you are correct, Chris. He only has one option.
Yes.
Yeah, so you're not going to do it.
You can't burn it. No. But, Craig, to your point, I agree. Like, if I were to pinpoint someone that you could afford to if he had more options, just based on the pedigree and based on... the notion that he's still young, he can still pick it up at a later date just to get right in the minors, it would be Merriweather.
Yeah.
But you can't burn it with one option. You just can't.
Agreed. That'll be a fascinating
decision.
I'm assuming
Trent Thornton also has some, because now let's say he gets that point. Too,
yeah,
so
actually, maybe
it might just
Trent.
Be him by default and dependability, you know what I mean?
Yep. Vasquez has one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to, over the next week, they need to try and find a way to get Vasquez in some games to see if that's something he actually can do. He was pitching pretty good for the Isons before they called him up. That's why they called him up.
And it was a major league deal they gave him, too. So they obviously see something in him that they want to explore a little bit more, in my mind. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Adam, you went with Meza as your guy for...
Yeah, and I have concerns with the longevity of Romano. Not the production now, but just the longevity of it.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I was going to say Jimmy Garcia until recently. Not that I'm concerned about it long term, but Garcia is definitely up there in terms of arms that impressed me. I know I've talked him up a whole bunch before, so this might not be a surprise, but I've really loved David Phelps' stability again. He's picked up right where he left off from last year when he tore the lat muscle off of his shoulder completely wherever the lat muscle is. Like, it was a freak injury and whatnot, but the fact that he can just – you can pitch him in the fifth and the sixth and throw him out there for multiple innings. If you pinch, you could probably have him in the seventh or the eighth too. He's just that reliable. He's that good on the strike zone. So Garcia and Phelps, just to be different from you guys, probably the two that, in my mind, have stabilized the bullpen. But starting pitcher-wise, I'll probably go Gausman for pitcher of the month. It's just been so fun to watch. The split is really good. And I still want to see what his finger looks like after a game because he loves blisters. Mm-hmm. The complete opposite of Aaron Sanchez and Rich Hill. He loves blisters. So, yeah, it's going to be... curious to see, and this actually rolls in nicely to the next topic because we've already started talking about it, is Nate Pearson. And it seems like he is on the comeback trail. And what they said over the weekend, I believe, that they're building him up to be a starter's workload for the purpose of whichever need is greatest at the time, whether that's in the bullpen or if he's a starter, he could go into the rotation. I don't want him in the rotation. I'd prefer him as a two or three inning reliever to start saving some of these arms a little bit. Because if you're built up, take some of those innings away from Garcia. Take some of them away from Romano and make it two or three inning saves for Nate Pearson. So, Chris, in terms of the guys coming back, Pearson, Teoscar, and Ryu, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious which way we'd rank these guys in terms of most impactful, the least impactful. And Danny Jansen, too, absolutely. out of those four, rank them in terms of most excited to get them back to least excited to get them back. And I think I know who probably is number one and who would be number four.
Teoscar, Pearson, don't really care about Jansen, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And Ryu doesn't matter, but he's owed too much money, so what the fuck are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
That's about it. Like, you need you need Teoscar in the lineup, clearly, to add protection behind Vlad, so they at least attempt to pitch to him.
Yeah.
And the torrid pace that Teoscar was on before he was injured, like, he was the kickstarter of the offense. And they probably missed him in the dugout. He's been missing for a couple of days now. So,
Adam?
Teoscar's got to rank up there, number one. I guess I gave a whole diatribe about the importance of Nate Pearson in the bullpen, so I'm going to go with that, too. So we're going to go offense, Nate Pearson, basically. I don't necessarily think Ryu is really missing right now. Sorry, Brennan.
No, that's fine. It's the truth.
Like, they're better off. They're better off at this point.
I agree. Give me the sauce. I'll put sauce at third. You know, just stabilize that. Give me the sauce.
You like Cicino?
Yeah. Give me the sauce. We need more bullpen arms.
You were in Ryu rehab for too long. Adam's been on the sauce train for a long time now.
Oh boy.
Give me the sauce.
So to that point, he might need some sauce rehab in the very near
future.
No,
no, no. He's on the 10-day IL.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like him, too. Don't get me wrong. But as far as those other guys, wow. So, but to that point, I'm even going to go a little bit. Obviously, we're all in agreement. So I think that Teoscar is the biggest piece that we would need to get back.
Yes.
I think that's kind of unanimous. After that, just because the offense has been so lacking and Zach Collins has been proven mortal, I want Danny Jansen back, and I just think that puts the whole catching core, DH plan, all that stuff that we've been just basically throwing at that position back into the realm of reality. It puts Kirk and Jansen back in the dynamic they were in spring training. We actually saw Danny Jansen putting up some offense, which was a continuation of last year, and the fact that, like I said, we get Tyler Hinneman off his lineup. Go ahead and keep Zach Collins around if you want, just for the left-handed bat that has some pop and has proven useful. Don't really have a ton of other options, especially after the Blue Jays definitely are not getting Dexter Fowler anytime soon at the major league level. So that was the other random thing we were holding out for. And then I'm going to go, I'll give you a wash between Pearson and Ryu at that point, the 3-4 spots as far as ranks, because I think the bullpen's doing okay right now, but if the offense doesn't kick up like we were talking about, then you're really going to need somebody like Pearson in the back of that bullpen to be able to just chew up some innings or get somebody hopefully returning to form in Ryu coming back to the rotation and being a few more innings than the Ross Stripling two times through the lineup roulette.
Let me ask you this. What is more pressing to you, Craig? Having Danny Jansen come back or calling up Mourinho? I'd rather see Mourinho.
I would like to see Mourinho too, but I'm also in that ballpark. We've been throwing so much random crap at the catching spot right now. I would just like to see if Jansen can earn and run away with that spot for few weeks before I go up emergency button, bam,
bring up Mourinho.
Can we slap the injury prone label on Jansen yet? I think it's fair.
I don't think that's unfair. I'm definitely not going to disagree with you on that, but to that point that he was trending in the right direction and we know that the pitching staff loves throwing to him and Kirk, he's got to come back this time for being healthy and run with it. If he gets hurt again, fine. Then I'm pressing that emergency button and bringing Mourinho up. That is, okay, like fair. I said, an emergency plan to me right now. I would love to see it happen tomorrow. And mind you, I love watching the kid. I think the kid's going to be insanely good. I just wanted, I want him to be brought up for the right reasons, not for the fact that it's like, okay, great. We can't find anybody to be the ninth hitter in our lineup. Bring him up. You know what I mean? I don't want to see him being thrown into the same thing Manoah got thrown into in our pitching rotation, because he's younger. He might, I would assume, I haven't seen as much, you know, footage of him as far as interviews or anything go. I don't know his maturity level versus, we knew what we were kind of getting with Manoah in that situation of just being thrown to the Wolves, literally thrown to the Yankees this first start. That's why I'm in the ballpark of just, if this offense is completely struggling and you're looking for that next catalyst when you have Jansen and Teoscar back in this lineup and we can't still make that next move, boom, do it. There's no reason not to at that point.
I think I'm just, I mean, good on you for having the patience. I'm just done. I know there's potential there, maybe, but I'm just, we said it in the preseason, like, you have to show me something. You have to say, it's, to me, it's no different than Cavan. You have to show me something, and you haven't. Yes, you have COVID, and you're on the IL. Sorry, bud. Sorry. Sorry, like, show me something. And if you're
gone, your job's gone.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And it's not like his job is gone. It's not. It is there waiting for him. Marino's not on the way now. But I think, you know, given that the front office is having the mentality of all hands on deck, and, you know, the tweet I sent, this is sort of related, the tweet I sent you guys from, was it Hector Gomez, about, leads me to believe that this front office to wait on things, right? They're not going to tiptoe with service time and stuff. So if it means, I mean, it's not an issue anymore because it's after May 1st, but if it means this offense needs a surge, whether or not, who else are you calling Aurelvis?
Like, just cooled right down small.
Yeah. And to that point, Moreno even has to a point. I know you just got the luxury of seeing him the other day, five now, where he was batting like...
Yeah, too.
Well, he these four doubles that are on his roster, or on his stat line right now for playing in Buffalo, have been there for over 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I don't know what his extra base hits have been over the last 2 weeks, but it looks like he's either focusing more on his defense. He's having a little bit of a dry spell at the plate. You know, it is what it is. But my philosophy on that whole thing I was telling you, it was based on the fact that he has cooled down some.
Sure.
He doesn't look like he's setting the world on fire. He is looking like he belongs in AAA a little bit at this point. Yes, he's an exceptional AAA player making that next piece up, but he's not lighting the world on fire to the point where it's like you have to.
He's not fortunate enough.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And I kind of want him to do that.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good question to think of, Adam. I'm leading with this, Craig. I would like to see Jansen again. I think the start that he got off, even though it was super brief, has bought him plenty of time in my mind. And just going back to the rankings, Teoscar is by far and away number one. I also am with you, Craig. I would put Jansen number two because that just lengthens your lineup like crazy if you get Teoscar back and Jansen picks up where he left off, hopefully. And
as designed. That
means, yeah, exactly. And that means you can slide Chapman down into the seventh spot. You can slide Gurriel down a little bit, keep Espinal in the sixth or the eighth spot, and your lineup is looking really, really good with all those guys back. And no more Raimel Tapia batting cleanup or fifth or sixth anymore. And that's the way it should be. But yeah,
he shouldn't even be in the lineup.
Yeah, exactly.
He should be the guy that's spelling everybody every few days or something like that. And that's about it, right?
Yeah,
pinch runner.
Has anybody heard roughly what the timeline for Jansen is? Because he started to swing and whatnot, but he's still much further off than Teoscar. It's not like a return is imminent for Jansen.
I read today that he took from Hazel May right before we actually went on, that he took live batting practice from the fast pitch machine today, and they were going to evaluate him again tomorrow. So that was the first time he had taken it regular past BP level stuff. So the fact that he was doing it on a high velocity machine for it the first time, it means he's dialing it up to game speed, right?
I'm going to say if that went well, they send him out on a rehab assignment and he joins them when they go to Tampa. Not this weekend, but next weekend, because he
probably a week behind Teoscar, right?
That's my guess too. Yeah, it's all good stuff with those guys coming back. It just helps like crazy. Hopefully it lights a spark into the offense. But I think Teoscar coming back for this Cleveland series is going to help a ton. I really do. It lengthens the lineup like crazy. I actually don't think the catcher position has been necessarily missing Jansen. They've gotten by with some hot streaks from Zach Collins. they just need, they need Kirk to pick it back up and fast. Like, yes, the fact that he doesn't have an extra base hit yet, if that doesn't change in the next couple weeks, then you have to really sit down and think what you got to do with Alejandro Kirk. I'm not,
he's starting not to hit the ball.
Send him down and last bring him Mourinho.
I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, Kirk was, I'm not going to say rushed, but he kind of was in 2020.
Oh, he was. And
that, absolutely.
And that's the opposite case of what I was talking about with Mourinho. You rush him and break him.
Yeah. But so with that, now that we probably will have Teoscar back at some point this week, and hopefully as soon as Thursday, if not, maybe by Friday, Saturday. We got four at Cleveland this week, and then two at Yankee Stadium Tuesday, Wednesday next week. It's a night game Tuesday, afternoon game Wednesday, which will suck because they have the off day Thursday, I believe, which will feel like two off days with an afternoon game on Wednesday. But regardless, let's go through and pick our predictions for the Blue Jays.
Sorry to interrupt right now, Brendan. Kirk just got his first extra base
double.
Yes,
he just got a double.
I have broken the Kirk curse.
As I said, he had been hitting the ball hard over the last few, you know, games. I was waiting for it to happen. So
he finally roofed it for first and second. he waddled right over there. It was good.
That ain't good. Maybe that gets him going, and maybe
the bench went off. It was
great. There you go.
Craig, let's start with you, and we'll go around the horn here. Four at Cleveland, and I just took a look. It looks like it'll be Thursday, Jose Berríos against Aaron Civale, who's off to a terrible start, like a 10.67 ERA, terrible start. Then you get Shane Bieber on Friday, who will be tough, against Kevin Gausman. That will be a fun pitching matchup to
It's going to be a fun night.
Bieber. Saturday
hasn't been good this year either, though.
Yeah,
he has. Bieber's been very spursy.
Yeah, 2.45 ERA, 29 strikeouts.
I thought it was very good.
And then
I think all those earned runs in the one start, though. That's to Chris's point.
Tristan McKenzie on Saturday, who's also been pretty good this season, and that would line up to be, what, Stripling, and then Manoah on Sunday. So, Craig, four against Cleveland, two at Yankee Stadium. What is your record prediction?
As much as I don't want to say it, I think there's enough going on in Cleveland that they're going to somehow split that series with Cleveland. And then I think we're going to take a split again, unfortunately, against the damn Yankees in New York, especially after last night. I don't know what the Yankees have figured out over the last 10 days, but there's something going on there, and I still don't understand it. It's a team that has flaws, and they're getting a lot of performance out of veterans that are getting older. I'm pointing right at Anthony Rizzo with that. Just saying.
Look at the teams they beat in that win streak, though: Tigers, Orioles, and some other, and the Royals. It's not been good.
I get it. I'm just saying. I don't even understand the 10-game winning streak. That, even regardless of that fact, because those two of those teams are on the rise that you just mentioned, and the Tigers have been sneaky good regardless of their record, I think. But to that point, I have a bad feeling about those two games in New York, so I think we're going to split it. And the Guardians' offense, regardless of what you were just saying, of those pitchers that we are going to be lined up again, they are doing what the Blue Jays were expected to be doing. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they in the top three for the major league runs scored? Or at least they were a couple weeks ago when I was looking at it. They've been Jose Ramirez is everything we wanted him to be. He's just not in our damn lineup. So, like I said, I unfortunately think we're going to walk out of this, you know, week with a split period always. So three and three.
Chris?
Sorry, I have no sound on the ball game right now, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is going on because Charlie's out there.
Espinal chirped at the first base umpire on the check swing called strike.
Did he get tossed? What the fuck is... Why is Charlie out there right now?
I think
because Charlie's probably the one that got tossed, just like he did when he was protecting Vlad.
No. He was just talking to the umpire, and now they were getting together. Or are they trying to get interference on the catcher?
Maybe that's
what the chirping was about. Yeah.
The chirping was for Espinal. I think this is for catcher's interference. Gotcha. Anywho, back to what you were saying, Brendan. 3-1 against the Guardians, the Clevelands, and 2-2 against the Yankees.
One still the worst team in baseball, worst named team in baseball, in my opinion.
Guardians.
Yeah. Adam, let's see your record prediction.
I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say 3-1 in Cleveland and split with the Yankees. And can we just talk about this dope 6:10 start time on Saturday?
Yes, that is.
Oh, okay, pop.
Let's talk about it.
Thursday, too.
Yes.
That's the Adam, Corsair time slot.
They're listening to me. They're trying to lure me in to be a Guardians fan. Ain't
they need the support they can get. unfortunately, with you, Craig, I'm going to go 3-3 over the course of the next couple games. I think they'll lose the Bieber game. The McKenzie one will be tough, too, but they'll win the other two on Thursday.
Fans.
And then, 1-1 at Yankee Stadium. So 3-3. All right, I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Picks a Click. I wasn't on last week's show, so I'm assuming I got my default guy, which I already forget who that is. But
for you? Your default guy's hurt.
So my active player default.
Right now it says TBD, so it's player to be named later, right? Where it says box of beer.
Let's go Springer, over it. Was it
Springer
was it?
Got first base.
Yes, he did.
Also, they challenged catcher's interference. I saw the tweet from Wilner.
And he got first.
Oh, nice.
There you go. So that worked out.
So who are our defaults? If I'm mistaken, Brennan, yours was yours was Ryu.
Yeah.
Chris, yours was Kikuchi?
Yeah, Kikuchi.
Apparently.
Mine was Cavan, and yours is Kurt. Okay, so no, that makes sense. And half of those guys are hurt.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an automatic loss, no matter what. Yeah.
It's an automatic loss for Mr. Brendan then. So I do have to, I'm going to leave this one because we actually didn't, I forgot to, in my infinite wisdom, I forgot to put the vote up for who won the week before. We had Springer, Lourdes, Manoah, and Chapman, and Manoah ended up having two good starts.
This is like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, to me, it would have been between Springer and Manoah, just intuitively.
And I think that was actually literally the argument we were talking about, and we were saying that Springer really had the two key hits. And that's why I'm thinking that I have to circle you, Mr. Corsair, on that last week.
Yeah,
Alec Manoah.
If you pick a starter and they have two good starts where you win both of those games, I'd probably go Manoah too.
All right. So Adam's on the board. Brendan, you're the only one that's not on the board, and that didn't change. So last week I had Santiago Espinal, Chris, you had George Springer, and then Adam, you had Chappie.
We all did really well there.
And then, Springer's got a win. He's the only consistent one.
Look at him go! Oh my God!
Is he out?
No!
That was the funniest fucking play I have ever seen.
Dude, I guess I'm going to have to catch the replay. Come on, Mr. Play-by-play guy. Walk us through it.
You know when you watch
this is tweeted gold.
It's sped up really fast. That's what Cal Turk was running. He was running sped up version of Babe Ruth running.
Oh, my God. Look at his arms. His legs are going so fast, but he's not going anywhere.
He should have been out.
Oh, my God. The only reason that he even came close to scoring is because they bobbled the transfer on the relay. He was only a quarter of the way to home plate, and the ball was already in the infield.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're struggling to score runs, is you're sending Kirk in ill-advised times. And it wasn't even Louis Rivera sending him. It was Podzinski.
Because he's over there right now because isn't Rivera out on like a family matter or something? Or is he just...
He was a close contact.
That's what it was.
Positive.
That's what it was. So anyway, before the literal chaos that just broke out, as the Blue Jays take the lead?
Yes.
Fucking hilarious.
So I did just pencil in Chris as the winner with Mr. Springer. Saying, see, there you go.
That means Chris, you get off with your pick.
Yeah, so that's two wins to Chris for the season, to Adam and Craig's ones. And Brendan, you better hurry up and get on the board, man. So I guess it's you're technically in last place right now, so it's your pick.
No. Winner always goes first.
Winner picks. That's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Then it's your show, and you can't pick Springer.
All right. I'll pick Bo.
There you go.
Ballsy. Good pick. All right.
Adam.
This is proof of my rehab. I'm going to go Espinal.
It's like you've made the amends. You've done this. You're on like step 12, right?
Yeah. I'm practicing what I preach.
Okay. Friend, he's got a slow suit.
Yeah, he's got SB. Who should I go for here?
Aaron Boone.
There you go. I think I'm gonna pick Romano.
Okay.
Nice.
Because he has a chance to play in way too many close games over this next week with McKenzie, yeah. Bieber, and more Yankees coming in.
And tonight, it's 1-0 right now.
So. Yeah, yeah, there is that.
So. Yeah.
I kind of want to go ballsy and take Teoscar to have an immediate.
I was just thinking that if you wanted to be really ballsy.
So what was the cheat code? The cheat code of Brendan has lost 4 weeks in a row now. Was that what it was?
No, you have to win three. You have in a to row, win.
Oh, yeah, okay. Lad.
No, you know what? I am going to go ballsy and go Teo just because Let's I'm not go. On board. I'm going to do that, and hopefully that pays off.
Does his Teo. Minor league home run tonight count?
No.
No.
Oh, they're showing the Kirk run again.
Yep. Of course they are.
Dude, the Blue Jays tweeted it.
God.
Oh, I got to find that. It's like, I haven't seen it.
That's what speed do. That's what speed do.
No, that is
I gotta figure out how I can get the Twitter feed stuff up for everybody up on the TV back here, so we can all have all that kind of fun.
My goodness.
Anyways, we got a baseball game to all go watch. So let's get us out of here. Picks to click are in. I guess we'll determine when we record next. Next Wednesday is a 12:30 game. That could work. And we'll talk about that later. But until next time. When the four of us reconvene to recap those four games between the Guardians and the Yankees. Check us out on Spotify, all your different places, and engage with us to win your coaster.
There you go. Come on, there you got him on.
Reply to us.
Ben Wyman for winning again.
All that different kind of stuff. But gentlemen, to get us out of here and go watch the game, let's end this how we normally do with two claps and a Ric Flair. Ready?
Woo!
Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Do it.